This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. I try and give it my best when I do that, you know, so I'm just asking for the same. Thank you. Y'all sound wonderful. I just wanted to hear it twice. You know, my wife said, "Are you preaching today?" I said, "I sure am." She said, "In those clothes?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "In those shoes?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." And I said, it was very intentional that I wore some older clothes because they're comfortable. Those that were at Wednesday night's Bible study, no, we talked about Colossians 3, and we talked about putting on the old man, or putting off the old man, putting on the new man. And this is kind of what happens to us. And I asked the question, and I got two different answers, which was really great. I said, what happened to the old man? One said he's dead, and the other said, well, we're hiding him. And I thought, man, hiding the old man is tough. If he's supposed to be dead and we're hiding him, that's not good. And a lot of times we drag out the old man. Why? Because just like these shoes that when I first got them were very hard and uncomfortable, these are like slippers on my feet. Good grief. Surprised I don't wear these things to bed. And that's what happens a lot of times. We become comfortable or we go back to what is comfortable. Whew. What's increased in the last 2 years? That's just a loaded question. Mental illness. Depression has increased. And don't think it hasn't affected church folks. You know, the studies say, well, or people say, there's just greater awareness now. Well, that is true. There is greater awareness, but it is increasing. It, unfortunately, a very fast pace. And they say one of the greatest things to get over and get through, I don't know that you get over some things, but to get through mental illness and depression, is to find purpose and go for that and go into it. And they say, remove yourself. Don't make that purpose about you. Make it about others. Make it about something different than just your needs. And science says, man, as soon as you find it and have it and exercise it, man, you are on the road to recovery. It's not automatic. There's some work that needs to be done. But finding purpose is one of the biggest tools in combating mental illness and depression. And wait for it, laziness. They threw that in there as well. Finding purpose combats laziness. Purpose matters for Christians. We have to have a purpose, but some are lazy. It talks about that in God's Word. The lazy Christian. Lazy people, but there are lazy Christians as well. But one of the first things is we're made by God. We're made for God. And then besides that, there's one true God. We know that. Great. We have some purpose. We're made by God. We're made for God. Are those things we know to be true? And there's one true God. And back in the 1640s, there was a catechism. And it says, man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Worship God. Glorify Him. Simple, right? It's not so simple. Turn over to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. And today's message is finding your purpose. Now, what I'm going to do is give you some of the answers to finding your purpose, but I won't give you all the answers. There's some homework for you guys. Matthew chapter 22. We know that Jesus was hanging around with people and the Sadducees were there and He silenced them. And the Pharisees were a little upset when Jesus silenced the Sadducees about the resurrection and what He said about it. So now the Pharisees are gathered together and one of them who was a lawyer asked Jesus a question in Matthew 22. And he said, man, teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? Now, I feel a little bit like Jesus is thinking, oh, yeah, bring it on. You got a question for me. You think you're going to stump me? Kind of like when Job was talking to God and God said, hey, where were you when I made the world? I got all those measurements by myself. Where were you, Job? You think you have the answers? You think you know? And I thought, Jesus, I don't know if he loved these type of things or they irritated him. But he just simply said, teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? And in verse 37, Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Okay, great. So we've got to love the Lord your God with some of your heart, with some of your soul, and with some of your mind. It doesn't say that. It says all. All of it. God, I was saving some of that heart, soul, and mind for some other purposes. Great. I've got to come up with a purpose statement for myself. Adam, can we use the prayer of faith purpose statement? Can I use a purpose statement for my work? Adam, do I have to come up with my own? And it simply starts out with this. I, and put your name there. I, Adam, glorify God by what? We just found out. By loving others. That's simple. Guys, that's answer number one. When we say, what is our purpose? It's to glorify God. Great. Now let's define that. I, Adam, glorify God by loving others. Put your name in there, and it's the same answer for all of us. That's answer number one. Love others. Your purpose is to love others. Some of you didn't like hearing that. I don't know why, but some of you are staring at me like, really? I've got to love others? Love your neighbor as yourself. We've talked about this before. Man, when you're loving others, you better start loving yourself, people. Embrace yourself. Love yourself. Look in the mirror. Love others. Love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the two greatest. Now turn over to Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. Matthew 25, verse 31. And we are going to read that through the end of the chapter. It says, when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on His right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now the important part, verse 35. Why did He invite us? Why is He grabbing that group? He says, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, and naked and clothed you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the King will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me. Note to self, be on the right hand when he does that. Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty. You gave me no drink. I was a stranger. You did not take me in. I was naked. You did not clothe me. And I was sick and in prison. And you did not visit me. Then they will answer and say to him, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And they will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. That's a little tough. Back in Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, I'll read it. You can turn there if you want, but I'll be very brief in there. Philippians 2, 1 through 4. And my heading in my Bible says, unity through humility. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. He says, fulfill my joy. Glorify Him by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. But listen to this, verse 3 and 4. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for your own interest, but also for the interest of others. Philippians 2, 1 through 4. Look out for the interest of others. It does say, well, you're looking out for your own interest, but look out for the interest of others. The purpose statement continues to be the same. I, Adam, glorify God by number one, loving others. And number two, as these last two scriptures said, serve others. If you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. You serve others. When they are hungry, you feed them. When they are thirsty, you give them a drink. When they are naked, you clothe them. When they are sick, you visit them. When they are in prison, you visit them. You serve others and not just yourself. Great, I've given you the first two answers in your purpose statement. What's my purpose? Finding my purpose. Glorify God. But then you answer that by saying, I glorify God by loving others and serving others. That's what we just read. We feed, we give, we give drink, we visit, we clothe, we esteem others. We look out for the interest of others. Now here's the hard part. It's the homework part. Looking at a couple of our students out there that still have homework. And sometimes it comes easier for others and it's hard for others. This is a tough part for us. And it's that third point in finding our purpose. It's that third and that I'm going to add. It says, I, fill in your name, Adam, glorify God and find my purpose. I mean, that's just, you know, us thinking out loud. I glorify God by loving others, by serving others. And then the third one that you fill in the blank is, and by blank them, helping them, whatever, teaching them. There's a whole list of things. Now, this could be maybe something in your gifts ministry. But this is something you have to discover for yourself. What are you? Who are you? What do you enjoy doing? What are you good at? What is your gift area? What are you known for? Now, this isn't an easy answer. Let me think of the last four compliments I had, and I guess I'll put that in there. No, it's what do people know you for? What do they know you as? I am, let me fill in the blank in. I, Adam, glorify God, find my purpose by loving others, serving others, and teaching them, leading them, encouraging them. Whatever it is, that's your homework. Because that piece of the puzzle helps you out tremendously. What do people know me for? What do they know me as? You know, James chapter 1, verse 22, it says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. He observes himself. He walks away and immediately forgets what he looks like." But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. I love that. Whatever you do, you will be blessed. Now let me throw this out there. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. And I want to be careful because Jesus was dealing with religious individuals. He was dealing with the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And they didn't like what he had to say all the time. And he was tired of that. Those that were there Wednesday, we talked about putting on the new clothes. Remember, we said the old clothes, they don't fit anymore. They're out of style. Maybe we stored them too long and they're of no use anymore, no value. They don't fit at all. But man, our Creator has said, "Oh, not only did I create the heavens and the earth, but I've created your wardrobe. And it's new, and it is custom made for you. It is tailor made. It is designer clothing. Oh, and by the way, when I made it, you're doggone right," he said, "I put my label in the back of it so you know who you're putting on every day." And he tells us, put on Christ every day. We read Romans tells us that. We read Wednesday night. Romans tells us that. Put on Christ. The old man is dead. And I was talking to Eric about that. And Eric said, it'd be like putting on designer clothing. And then someone takes a scarf and said, "Hey, I think this will dress it up a little bit. What do you think of this?" We always want to accessorize what God created for us. Don't accessorize. That's why I love doing ministry with my ministry partner, Eric. He said, or those people that do that, but then they put on cologne and they walk through the office. I said, yeah, I had four of them traipse through my office yesterday at work. I had to fumigate the thing after each one walked out and leave both doors open and get some cross ventilation. We always want to accessorize what God has done and say, "God, thank you very much. But I think I'll just add this scarf. God, thank you for the portrait of my life. I think I'll just add this in the corner." He says, "No, I've designed your life. Quit trying to make it your own. Well, God, you needed a little help. So here's where I'm going with this. In the Jesus dealing with the religious people, I think memorizing scripture is important. I think it helps us learn the Bible. It helps us be familiar. It helps bring to mind things when we are going through situations. But I was talking to a godly man at work the other day. He can't remember who said it. It's not mine. It's not his. But somebody said it. As we were talking about this, and he said, memorizing scripture is great, but are you living it out? That's not the great part. He said, it's like the menu board. You've memorized the menu, but have you tasted the food? And that's what I'm talking about. Have you memorized the menu, but you've never tasted the food? Have you tasted the food? For as often as you eat of this bread, do this in remembrance of me. For as often as you drink of this cup, do this in remembrance of me. Memorize scripture. But literally, for God's sake, live it out. Live it out. I won't say it. Y'all want me to say it? Okay, I'm going to say it. I am sick and tired of religious people quoting scripture and being some of the meanest people I've ever come in contact with. They annoy me. They irritate me. And they give no credibility or validity to their life in Christ, because they are mean and evil spirited. And they use this thing as a giant hammer so that they can smack people with it. That's where I'm at. They irritate me. I'm sorry. Whoopity-doo. You've memorized 5 books of the Bible, and you've lived none of them out. There's no congratulations for that. Memorize it so that we can live it. Memorize it so we can teach it. Memorize it so we can correct ourselves or correct others. Not to beat them with it. Remember several weeks ago, a righteous man will fall. Pick them up. We have people in this church or people that used to be in this church that need a hand up. And at times we want to write them off. Now there's a certain place where you're trying to pull them up and they're just laying there going, no, I love this little pigsty I'm in, wallowing around in it. I get it. But let's not walk past them without offering a hand up. Memorize scripture so that you can live it out, so you can teach it, so you can embody it, so you can become more Christ-like. So that you can become his ambassador. I'm sorry, the word says when we accept him, we are his ambassador right out of the gate. Whew. Well, okay, I feel like I still have my old clothes on, so let me go take off the old man. Because immediately we are his ambassador. This week, your homework is to discover what that third purpose is. When you do it, it will help you. Remember, I am put in your name. I glorify God by loving others, by serving others. I, Adam, glorify God by loving others and serving others. And boom, 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 them. Helping them, encouraging them, teaching them, leading them, correcting them. In the spirit of love and gentleness, of course. I'll close with this. When we find that third purpose, it's going to help us. It's going to help us make better decisions. It teaches us to say no without guilt, because it fits somebody else's purpose, not mine. Number two, it's going to give us more meaning. Time is valuable for all of us. We'll be more proud of our contributions that we give because they have purpose behind it, and they're more than just us. It's more than just me. So the things I do have more meaning. You'll be less wasteful. You'll spend less time, money, and effort on things that don't fit your purpose. And you'll do your best in the midst of those, trusting God for the outcome. God, thank you for the new wardrobe. Trust Him that He's got everything, including those accessories. And if He wants you to wear perfume or cologne, He's going to give it to you. Don't add your own mix in there. And you'll feel better about yourself. It'll increase your confidence, your performance. It all becomes better because you have purpose and you're serving it. I fill in your name. Glorify God by loving others, by serving others, and by number three, them. Find out if you don't know. Talk to other people. Talk to your spouse. Talk to your family members. Talk to friends. Talk to your coworkers. Talk to pastors. This isn't just fill in the blank quickly so we can say, hey, we have something. And you may have to adjust it. You may find, I was in a hurry and I filled that in there. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, for it helping us to discover our purpose and show us where our purpose is. Lord, that it already gave us some of the answers. We don't have to fill in the blank. You've taught us to love others. Lord, you've taught us to serve others. But Lord, there's number three that you've put inside each and every one of us. Help us this week to discover what that is so that we can live out our purpose of glorifying you. God, give us a desire. Give us a desire to complete this homework assignment. You want us to glorify you. We want to glorify you. Help us discover how to do that and live that out. Give our day-to-day activities and conversations meaning and purpose. Lord, help reveal that to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand up and worship with us.